When a loved one is dying, their last words are important to us. My grandma Lundgren passed away in 1996, and I remember those conversations at the hospital that I had with my grandma Mormore, and they are so special. They're great memories for me to have. She used that time to remind me of the truths of Scripture, of heaven, of God. We also reminisced about the good times that we had here on earth, the memories of my grandpa, Roar, who was a pastor, and he had passed away 20 years to the date before my grandma. We looked forward to heaven and eternity without pain, sickness, and sin. The human side, the spiritual side, the temporal side, the eternal side, the joy of the past, and the hope for the future. Last words. Jesus made some statements during his last hours on the cross, found in the Gospels. They highlighted his divinity and his humanity. They highlighted who he was, God and man. And I thought it would be meaningful for us tonight to focus in for just a few minutes on these statements and look how they expose his humanity and his divinity, his love for us and his love for his Father, the completion of why he came to the earth, his fulfillment of love that he has for mankind from the beginning of time. So tonight we will look at these statements that have been taken from the four Gospels in what has become the accepted order of the way that they would have been stated from Jesus or said from Jesus. And the first words we're going to look at are recorded, they're found in Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus speaks to his Father. The first words he says that are recorded on the cross, it says, "And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The first words from our Savior on the cross come from his heart, and we see his divine love for us. In just a few verses prior, before he was nailed to the cross, he made some statements about impending judgment that was coming. And you and I, if we're honest, and we look at this, we need to realize that it was because of our sin and our rebellion that his judgment would be righteous and deserved. But what Jesus says to the Father in light of this is a prayer of forgiveness, bathed in love for us. He is hanging on the cross in unimaginable pain, thinking of you, thinking of me. God will forgive us when we ask because of Jesus' death on the cross, the final and perfect sacrifice. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is then recorded just a few verses later, a conversation between Jesus and one of the thieves. We look at Luke 23, verse 43, and it says, "And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The conversation on the cross with the thief who saw Jesus as the Son of God is beautiful in so many ways. Jesus was crucified with a criminal on each side of him. The other thief hurled insults at Jesus. But this one was different. He saw Jesus. He confessed Jesus as God. He confessed confidence in the salvation that could only come from God. They both witnessed the same events. The two thieves saw the same things happening to Jesus. And yet, their hearts and their words revealed a stark difference. One continuing on in unbelief, one with an expression of faith. Here we see God's grace poured out through his confessed faith as Jesus assured the dying man of his forgiveness and eternal salvation. Talk about a deathbed confession here. If you have ever doubted someone's faith, like I know I did when I was a kid and I would hear of a criminal putting their faith in God at the last moment, and I would be cynical about that. And yet, if we look here in Scripture, we see that exact thing happening. So if you've ever doubted, like I have, someone's faith, that it could be genuine there in those last few minutes of life, let this account be a warning to you, but also an encouragement to you that it can happen and it will happen. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Then we have this beautiful exchange between Jesus, his mother, and John, the beloved disciple. We're hopping over to John now, chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. It says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, which we know the beloved is John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own house. He took her in as his mother. But Jesus, looking down from the cross, was still filled with concerns of a son for an earthly mom, her needs, who would take care of her. He saw his mom and he worried about her. We see the human side of Jesus in these words. Full of love. He had memories with her. He had love for her that a son would have for his mother. None of his brothers were there to see him crucified or to be there at least to support mom. So he gave this task to his best friend, the Apostle John. Here we clearly see Christ's humanity. Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. The fourth thing we see in Matthew 27, verse 46, is Jesus crying out to his father. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the darkest hour of his suffering, Jesus cried out the opening words of Scripture found in Psalm 22. And although much has been suggested regarding the meaning of this phrase, it was quite apparent here that he was in agony. Christ felt, as he expressed through this thought or this feeling, a separation from God. Here we see the Father pouring out his wrath on the Son, and Jesus bore the full weight of our sin. But let me be clear, Jesus was not doubting his Father, not for a moment. He also was not confused about what was going on, what was happening. Jesus Christ chose the nails. He chose the cross. He chose to be the sacrifice for you and I. He knew the plan. His confidence in the Father never wavered. The cry on the cross was a mixture of emotion and agony. Physical, spiritual, relational. There are many passages that foretold the pain that he would endure. The psalmist and the prophets talked about them. Here we see Psalm chapter 22, verses 14 to 16. There's a description. The psalmist prophetically expresses what the feelings of our crucified Lord would be. Just listen to these. I am poured out like water. My bones are disjointed. My heart is melting like wax. Strength is dried up. My tongue is stuck to my mouth, the psalmist says. Put me in the dust of death is a phrase. It's in Psalm 22. Gang of evildoers surround me, and then they pierced my hands and my feet. Written hundreds of years before Jesus went to the cross. The spirit, that was the physical anguish. The spiritual anguish, of course, was real. Jesus drank fully of the wrath of God. Shrouded by darkness, full of physical pain, God poured out completely his wrath on Jesus Christ, his son. Why? Because Jesus willingly took our sin. He became the curse, it says in Galatians 3. He took all of it. He made payment for it in full. So Jesus experienced this separation, this physical and emotional separation that we deserved from God so that we could be reconciled. That's the beauty of the cross. Reconciliation with a sinful, rebellious creation. The death of Jesus caused us to have the opportunity to approach the throne of grace. When I was reading that this week, it just moved me. It was the death of Christ that tore the curtain. So that when we talk about praying directly to God, when we talk about boldly going into the presence of the Father, it is a reality because of the death of Jesus. The curtain was torn when he died. He endured it all, physical pain, spiritual anguish, relational strain, so that we, rebels and sinners, could be called sons and daughters of God the Father. I could stop there. That's enough. But he said a few more things. My God, why have you forsaken me? In John 19:28, we see after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scriptures, I thirst. Jesus originally refused the initial drink of the soured wine or the vinegar mixed with gall and myrrh. That we see that story in Matthew 27 and Mark 15. It was offered often to those who were being crucified to dull the pain, to allow them to not pass out because of the pain. And Jesus passed on that. But in the final hours, we see Jesus fulfilling the messianic prophecy of Psalm 69, verse 21. And he says, I thirst. John 19, 30, we see the sixth word of Jesus. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus knew he was suffering the crucifixion for a purpose. Earlier he had said in John 10:18 of his own life, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. These three words finished everything. Not only Christ's earthly ministry, not only his sacrificial suffering and death, not only the redemption of the world from their rebellion and sin, but the very reason, the very purpose that he came to earth was finished. His final act of obedience was complete. The scriptures had all been fulfilled. It is finished. But Jesus' last words that were recorded are actually in Luke 23, verse 46. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Here Jesus closes with the words of Psalm 31, verse 5, speaking to the Father. We see his complete trust in the Father. Jesus entered death in the same way that he lived each day of his life, offering up his life as the perfect sacrifice and placing himself in God's hands. No matter our circumstance right now in your life, we can learn from Jesus here what our lives should look like. Let's move forward and by God's grace, boldly, daily declare, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. How different would your life be if you said that every morning when you got up? How different would my life be if I said that every morning when I got up? God's hands will never lose us. No one will ever slip through his fingers. No power or person can ever pluck you out of his hands. That is the trust Jesus had in his Father, the trust that we can also have. All of history revolves around the cross. All of history revolves around the cross. All of his story, Jesus Christ's story, revolves around this scene too. The trajectory of our lives is determined by what we do with this. This story, this fact of what happened, what we do with it. There's a few different responses we should have to this. One response from this story is surrender. First, we need to surrender our hearts to God. If you have never placed your faith in God, you need to turn from your sin and trust in Jesus. If you're here tonight and that's you, you're here with a friend or a family member, you've never done that, that is what you need to do. I hope Holy Spirit is pulling you right now and drawing you unto himself. You need to realize you're a sinner and you need to trust in Jesus for the salvation that he provides. You don't need to do anything on your own. You can't do anything on your own to right that relationship. You don't have to be a certain amount of good to outweigh the bad. You only need to embrace this free gift. If this is you tonight, praise God. If you're thinking that's me, that's where I'm at, praise God. And I would love to talk to you after I'm done up here. Don't even wait till the end of the service. Just come on back there. And if I'm busy with somebody, we'll find somebody else to talk to you. If you're believing for the first time, you are now saved. And I would love to explain what it means to be a child of God, redeemed. I want to help you in those next first steps following Jesus Christ, becoming the disciple he wants you to be, and answer any questions you might have. Now, another part of surrender, though, is for those of us who have already placed our faith in Jesus Christ. You believe in the sacrifice. You know why you're here tonight. And you know what happens on Sunday, and you believe that. But you might need to stop toying with sin tonight. Holy Spirit might be pulling you, not for salvation, but to walk away from what's dragging you down. You need to pursue the Savior like you know you should. Quit allowing your life to be weighed down by distraction. There's so many distractions in this world. And if this is you tonight, make that decision. Don't put it off another day. We need to be fully sold out disciples of Jesus Christ, ready to, and this is the other response I think we can see from the words on the cross. We need to be ready to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Surrender our hearts to God and be ready to proclaim the good news. Many people who don't trust Christ as their Savior know about a historical Jesus. They know that he died, and they even know maybe what Christians believe in. They just don't believe it. They need to understand why. What we learned tonight from the seven final words of Jesus, why the cross and why Jesus' death was so important, that he gave his life so that you could find yours. The one that moves you from death to life, the one that moves you from walking around aimlessly like a corpse to a life filled with purpose and passion. And that's what I want for you tonight, friends. I want you to have passion in your life. I want you to have a purpose, and I want you to pursue that because it will fulfill you in a way that the world can never fulfill you. Will you tonight allow the gospel to change you with permanent change? This is the good news of Good Friday, a day marked by death so that we could find life. Lord, help us to proclaim the good news of Jesus until he comes for us or takes us home to be with him. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. We thank you for an evening where we can focus in on his death. We thank you that it wasn't a surprise to Jesus. He knew that it was coming. When the wrath was poured out on him, he drank fully of it so that every one of our sins that we've committed or will commit was taken care of by him. And because of those truths, we've been called to live a different life, one that has changed. Lord, help me to live that life. Help these friends of mine to live that life that they are called to live. This weekend, as we know what Sunday is, it's Easter, and we're going to celebrate the risen Savior. Help us to focus in just a little longer on the cross and remember the cost. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.